Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cyient Q3 FY19 earnings conference call hosted by Edelweiss Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Agarwal from Edelweiss Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Jenny. Good evening to everyone.
Sandeep, we cannot hear you. Can you?
Hello. Are you able to hear me now?
Yes, sir. You may please go ahead.
Yeah. So thanks, Jenny. Good evening to everyone. On behalf of Edelweiss, let me welcome you to the Cyient Quarter 3 FY19 earnings call. We have with us the senior management of Cyient, headed by Mr. B.V.R. Mohan Reddy, along with senior members of the management team. Without further ado, I will hand over the call to Mr. Ajay Agarwal to start the proceedings. Thanks, and over to you, Ajay.
Thank you, Sandeep. I would take the customary announcement with regard to whatever information is available will be put on the website as a part of the normal thing. And along with me is, as usual, the same panel, Mr. B.V.R. Mohan Reddy, the Chairman, Krishna Bodanapu, our Managing Director and CEO. And I would request Mr. Mohan Reddy to start, and then we will do the detailed presentation.
Thank you, Ajay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Wish you all a very happy and prosperous New Year 2019. I welcome you all to this Q3 conference call of Cyient. Let me take you through the highlights of the Q3 quarter. We saw the highest-ever quarterly revenue of 11,876 million rupees, or 1,187.6 crores as revenue. This signifies a strong growth of 20.8% year-on-year. In U.S. dollar terms, the revenue growth is at $165.1 million, which signifies a growth of 8.6% year-on-year. In constant currency, the growth is 10.7% year-on-year. The services revenue came to $144.5 million, signifying a degrowth of 1% quarter-on-quarter, or growth of 3.3% year-on-year. The operating margins for the quarter stood at 14.7%, an expansion of 103 basis points quarter-on-quarter. The services operating margins stood at 16.3%, an expansion of 100 basis points quarter-on-quarter. The operating profits stood at ₹1,749 million, or 174.9 crores, which is the highest ever, signifying a growth of 7.6% quarter-on-quarter, or 22.2% year-on-year. Our continued focus on cash conversion has yielded very good results, with cash conversion at 85.6% for the quarter. The cash and cash equivalent stood at 1,230 crores for the company. The net profit for the quarter stood at 92.1 crores, signifying a degrowth of 27.5% quarter-on-quarter, or a growth of 4.9% year-on-year. On the infrastructure front, Cyient successfully completed the ISO 13485:2016 certification upgrading unit by BSI. Cyient Solutions and Systems Limited, which is a 51-49 joint venture between Cyient Limited and Blue Bird Aerosystems of Israel, supplied the first UAV systems to a unit of the Indian Army. We opened a solution center in Peoria, Illinois, United States. We also extended our Pune facility to accommodate growth in with one key customer. On the CSR front, I'm happy to report that Cyient Best Overall Excellence in CSR Award from National Award for Excellence in CSR and Sustainability. As a part of our ongoing CSR initiatives, we continue to support 25 government schools supporting the education of underprivileged children. We continue to support 67 science digital centers that provide digital education literacy to 27,000 plus children. We initiated the Urban Micro Skill Center, UMSC, for urban poor with the support of Government of Telangana and National Skill Development Corporation. Cyient was conferred the prestigious Supplier Highest Productivity Award, Supplier Innovation Award, and Consistent Supplier Productivity Award in 2018 by Pratt & Whitney. Cyient Singapore Private Limited won the Tripartite Alliance Award 2018. I'm happy to report that Cyient was positioned as an established and expansive player in Zinnov ER&D Services Report 2018. I'm delighted to report that our CFO, Mr. Ajay Agarwal, won the CFO of the Year Award, and the finance function won the Excellence in Financial Planning and Analysis Award at the CFO Executive Leadership Summit organized by Kamikaze B2B Media in New Delhi. With this, I would like to hand over the call back to Ajay, who will take you through the detailed financial performance for the quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mohan. During the quarter, we had, in terms of services, $144.5 million of revenue. If you see, I would like to focus on the group numbers. Aerospace and defense is doing well. I think group as a whole, including the DLN portion, we are tracking 20% year on year, and full year, I think we will be ahead of 20%. Communication, I would like to spend a minute here. When you look at this minus 0.8%, this also includes the communication business in DLM. If you exclude that, the core communication business is growing at 8%. As far as communication in DLM is there, we have taken a conscious call of reducing some of the business, which is low margin. But overall, DLM has done well. They have done better operating profit despite some of these calls. UNG, we have minus 6% year on year, and this year, as we had discussed earlier, we do have UNG as a challenging period, but we expect both in quarter four as well as going forward to be better. Transportation is at 6% year on year, and is going to be double digit this year. INR overall is 3%, but if you look at full year, I think it is this is a point of time thing, but overall we are tracking in high single digit. SIA, 30% here. Of course, we have the benefit of NSM, which is tracking to the plan. Overall, we are looking at 35-40% kind of a growth in SIA. MT&H, I think at 20% overall will end surplus of 20%. So Krishna will talk about the overall, but I think overall, if you look at year and year in constant currency, we are at 10.7% as a group. And for the whole year, I think we should be a little better than this number for the 12 months. In terms of the profit and loss account, if you look at, there are two highlights. In the operating margin, we have done 14.7% as a group. We had very good service margin in quarter three, 16.3%. What has happened is gross margin has been improving. There have been a number of initiatives, both on improving the gross margin through focusing on more profitable customers. Also in terms of the cost, there has been a better cost management. SG&A has been lower, and some of this, or most of this, will continue in the next quarter. So the way we see with the growth coming back in quarter four, which is going to be strong growth, we will have the margin expansion continuing in the coming quarter, both from some of the, and also this quarter, typically we have number of paydays which are, there, but the corresponding billing days are not there. That's about 1% impact during the quarter. That will not repeat in next quarter. So just to conclude, some of these zeros will play out in quarter four, and we'll have the margin exception, margin increasing or margin expansion in quarter four. If you look at profit after tax, I would say the main item we will talk about other income, but on the treasury side, we are doing well. The quarter-on-quarter change is mainly on account of restatement of balance sheet due to the foreign exchange. This time, we have a restatement to the extent of minus 28.6 crore or 286 million. Last quarter, we had a change of about positive of 237. This is just the rupee moving on the closing date from 73 of last quarter to about 70 this quarter. That creates this. Secondly, we had the export incentives that were there in last quarter, 234 million. So obviously, there was no anticipation of this incentive in this quarter. So if you see on the operating level, we have grown about 7% quarter on quarter. We have grown 20% plus quarter on quarter, year on year. But I think some of those line items have to be seen. And overall, I think also in terms of the other income from forward contracts, the gains that we are getting in operating profit are much higher than the losses that we will incur in this particular year. And on ETR, last thing, I think we had given a guidance of improvement over the last year. We are on track. Maybe we have just given the bridge also, you can refer to it. On the other income, as I highlighted, if you look at the column number 4, quarter-on-quarter change, two major changes, 523 million, which is a change I explained, purely on restatement of balance sheet. I want to reiterate, we have not incurred any losses. This is just a restatement of assets and liabilities for the balance sheet, and this has no impact as such on realized profit or loss. And on the incentives, you see minus 234. So that has a significant impact of 754. That's why you are seeing a significant degrowth in net profit quarter on quarter. But I would say this is an impact of some of the one-offs. In terms of hedge book, right now we are covered for about $129 million. There's no change in the policy. If you look at current spot rates, we will have a gain of close to $6.6 million for the next 12 months, about at current spot rate. Most of it could be there in next year if the rate was to be at that particular, at the 31st December rate of about 70. Cash generation has been very positive, as Chairman highlighted. We had one of the very good conversions of 85% both for the quarter as well as YTD also. We have a conversion of 64% group as a whole. DLM is also doing positive free cash flow. So overall on the cash flow generation, I think we will continue the whole focus. With this, I hand over to Krishna for updating us on the business side.
Thank you, Ajay, and good evening, everyone. Thank you again for being on this call today. I will take you through the business highlights of what happened this quarter. Firstly, significant developments. I think one of the key things that Chairman also mentioned was that CSS, which is our joint venture that has the capability to deliver UAVs, has delivered the first system to the Indian Army. Systems have been delivered. They have gone through flight tests, and we will recognize that revenue in Q4 of this quarter. I will just put a caution saying that that business will also have a little bit of cyclicality because we don't necessarily deliver every quarter to the customer, but there will be a little bit of cyclicality. So going forward, wherever it is material, we will also give you some updates on how that business is panning out. But in Q4 of this year, we will see the first tranche of revenue from CSS. The NBA program, which is our incubation program for new technologies, continues to do well. There is three new projects there. As you may recall, we invest approximately 1% of our revenue into these projects. There's three new projects, so the total projects that are ongoing are 30. There's a pipeline of six further projects that are there. We are also quite pleased to see that there is customer-level traction in some of the areas that we've developed these technologies and these solutions like IoTs and augmented reality. We believe that we will still be in investment mode, obviously, for the next 6 to 12 months, but at least from FY12, that there will be a meaningful contribution to the earnings per share because of the projects that are currently being done in MBA. And we also believe that in FY20, which is the next financial year, we will see some revenue coming out from MBA-related projects. Maybe not meaningful, but some revenue, and really from 21, we will see some good numbers coming there. The other quick update is that our auditors, Deloitte Haskins themselves, have been our auditors for 10 years now, which means that they will have to rotate out at the end of this financial year, which is in April. So we have gone through a very, very extensive process, and we have recommended to the audit committee, who have who will recommend to the shareholders, that SR Barclay Boy, who are essentially Ernst & Young India, will be appointed as our statutory auditors. This recommendation will be made to the shareholders at the next AGM, but this is going to be one shift. And similarly, the internal auditors also will be rotated, because Ernst & Young has so far been our internal auditors, and KPMG is whom we are recommending, or whom we have recommended to the audit committee, who will then recommend to the shareholders for their approval as the internal auditor. Moving forward on the investment pipeline, we continue to have a fairly healthy pipeline on our investments. The intent doesn't change. The areas that we do want to focus on remain the same. In terms of mergers and acquisitions, there's 4 pre-LOIs, 3 deals have been done. In terms of corporate venturing, also there's a healthy pipeline that we are focused on, and we will continue to focus on these. Coming to the industry outlook, and I'll try to give you a little bit of color on what is happening in each industry, and also how we are positioned, and specifically with our customers, what is happening. But aerospace and defense continues to do quite well. Actually, one of the things that you'll recognize is that for our A&D business, typically Q3 was a tough quarter, because there is a fair amount of work that also happens on-site, etc. But in spite of that, so we've lost approximately 5% of the capacity in Q3 because of the nature of the work. But in spite of that, there is a year-on-year growth in the aerospace business, which hasn't happened for many years now, because Q3 has always been a tough quarter. There is growth in the aerospace business, and you will see that growth momentum is going to continue for a while. The expenditure, while civil aerospace expenditure is flattening out a little bit, the spend on military is going up quite a bit. That continues to benefit us, both because of how we're structured to address the military business, and also because reallocation of resources from civil programs to military programs is happening, which also means that there's more civil work coming out there. But net-net, we believe that the cycle continues, and it's going to be a long cycle, and we are well positioned in this cycle. In terms of the communication business, again, we don't see any challenges in this business. The year-on-year growth for this business in services has been about 8%+. This is the second largest BU, as you know. To Ajay's point, we will also defocus in the communications business on some areas of manufacturing, such as making low-value devices, and that's why the revenue numbers looks like a drop. But services business continues to be quite healthy. The one thing I would say is there has been a push out in one of the contracts with a large client in communication that should have been awarded in Q3. It's been pushed out to Q4, and that's one of the reasons why the quarter on the revenue side was a little bit softer than what we had initially anticipated. But I also want to say that the contract is almost in place. We are very, very confident, just based on where we stand in that relationship and how things have worked out there. We're very confident that the contract renewal, and actually not just contract renewal, but contract expansion is going to happen, which will mean that we will have some very strong quarters going forward. The ramp up in that client will start in sometime in Q1, so we might not see the full effect of that in Q1, but I'm quite confident that going forward, we will have a good run in communications as a general, Here, Q3 was a little bit of a slower quarter than what we anticipated. The utilities and GIS business also continues to do well because of all the investments that are happening in the utility space. A number of the newer technologies, such as the grid modernization, renewable energy, smart metering, etc., means that there's significant investments in the utilities space going forward. What you'll also see, again, this is two industries put together, but our utilities business, after a long time, has grown almost 15% year on year, and we see that momentum continuing. We believe that that gives us a very good segue into the next few years of growth in the utilities business. We are quite focused on investing into making sure that we have the capability, the solutions, and the capacity to address this growth. Just the geospatial business over the last few quarters has been relatively stable, i.e. flat, and we believe that that will continue, but we're also prepared for that. The rail transportation industry is also doing quite well. We have some good growth both in rolling stock, which is the trains, and the signaling, which is the signaling system that supports the trains. Obviously, we have a good proposition there, also because we work with all the largest OEMs in rail transportation. So we think that there are some point-in-time issues there, just because of how the contracting happens with some of the large signaling contracts. But having said that, it's been stable, and we believe that we'll continue to have a good run there. The IENR, which is Industrial Energy and Natural Resources, also had a decent quarter. We're seeing some good opportunities because of, again, where the investments are going. A lot of the investments are going into the emerging technologies, the so-called digital technologies, where we're very, very well positioned, be it around the oil and gas or mining or even the equipment that supports it. And we see that we have a good proposition because of all the investments that we have made on things like IoT and the digital aspects. The semiconductor industry, we think, will see a degrowth this year. It will be about 4-5%. That's the overall semiconductor industry. And specifically in our case also, we are continuing to have a little bit of a challenge there, because we have a couple of large customers, but one of them is going through a restructuring and a realignment of their business. And in that realignment, we are seeing some slowdown. Having said that, the acquisition that we made with Ansel is helping us quite a bit in terms of building some good capability and capacity, and also building some good credibility in this market. We believe that the chip design wins are happening at the rate where it will help us sustain this business for a long time forward. So while the overall industry in semiconductor has a little bit of a rough patch ahead of it, we believe we're still quite well positioned because of the changing nature of the industry and the focus on analog to digital, which is a capability that we have some very, very strong credibility, capability, and capacity. Lastly, the MTH, which is the medical technology and healthcare, is also doing quite well. We have a good proposition there. We have a very strong integrated proposition around design and manufacturing. This is a business where 50% of our revenue is design and 50% is manufacturing. In spite of that, we make in excess of 30% gross margins, which means that the combined proposition is still a very healthy proposition and a financially viable proposition. We believe that we will continue to grow quite well in this business and continue our focus. This is also an area that we are looking quite aggressively for inorganic growth, and we think that there are some investment opportunities that will come our way very soon over there. Net, and to summarize this, the outlook for the rest of the year is here. I'll also try to correlate it to what we had said previously, but on revenue, we believe it will be between 8.5 and 9.5% growth in the services business. This is a little bit lower than the double digit that we had said earlier in the year. Unfortunately, it's just that Q3 was a little bit weaker than what we had anticipated. We believe it's prudent to look really between an 8.5% and a 9.5% growth in the services business. It's a little bit lower, again, like I said, than what we had earlier said. But again, taking into account what is happening in the market, we believe this is a prudent number. And again, it's only about maybe 0.5% or 1% below where we thought we would end up. But more importantly, the rest of the outlook remains same. It's not solidified. The legacy DLM business will grow at least 20%. We will see that in the numbers going forward. Overall DLM, which includes another acquisition of BNF, also the CSS, the drones that we deliver will get counted here. Overall, there'll be at least 35%, actually a little bit more than that, but we're quite pleased with that. Overall revenue growth will be in excess of 10%. It will be closer to 11% or even a little bit higher than that. That's what we're anticipating for the year. More importantly, there will be profit growth in the double digits. It will be in the 20 to 22% range in rupees compared to last year. So we believe all said and done, while revenue is a tad bit lower than what we had originally thought, the profit is coming in fairly nicely, so it gives us a little bit of confidence and room to invest aggressively for the future, which is something that we're quite keen to do. Operating margin will be marginally higher than last year on year. I think last time we explained where how the numbers are panning out, especially with this additional investment in the NBA, which is 60 bits, and other solutions, which all of which adds up to 100 bits. So this is just a prudent view, but the operating margin will be slightly higher. DLM margin has improved. We are in the low single digits. I've constantly said that 10% is the target there. So I think it has been a long journey, but we see where the journey will get us to close to 10% in the coming years. Other income is higher than the initial outlook because of various incentives. ETR is I think that's the range that we had talked about from the beginning of the year, but that's where it will be in the 24 to 25% range. Net profit will be single digit growth, but we believe that we have a good runway to that, and we have a good reason just because of some of the other items that are affecting us. So therefore, net, it will be a good year. And more importantly, I'd say while it is very early for us to talk about the coming year, that is FY20, I will say that the momentum looks to continue into Q1 at least. We have already done some initial numbers and some initial budgets, and obviously a lot of conversations with clients. But I'm quite confident that this momentum and what you will also, just to preempt the mathematics a little bit, what you'll also see is this will mean that we'll have a good Q4, both on revenue and also further on profitability. And that momentum will continue into Q1. And in hindsight, that was one of the challenges of FY19. Was Q1 was a little weak after a very strong Q4, which meant that we started off with a weak wicket, so to speak. But having said all that, I'm quite pleased that the momentum is there. From there, we thought we will start the year off. We're a little bit off on revenue, but we're doing okay with some of the other parameters. And the momentum continues to into Q1 of FY20. The other thing I also want to quickly talk about is a buyback initiative that we have intimated the stock exchanges that the board was considering. The board deliberated quite a bit in the meeting today, and they wanted a little bit more time to debate on the modalities of how the buyback can happen. So we've agreed to reconvene during this quarter, and I just say as soon as possible also, because as with the boards, it's a little bit difficult to get everybody's time, but everybody's committed to reconvening this quarter, which will be in the very near future, to close this out. So while we were hoping that we would have a resolution or an announcement to make on that, we want to say that we're just deferring it by a few weeks because we need a little bit of time on what is the best modality to execute it. And as many of you are aware, this is the first time that we are attempting to do a buyback, so we got a little bit caught up on some of the procedural issues that we weren't necessarily very prepared for, just because, again, it's a first time we're doing it. So we hopefully will come back, or not, we will come back to you with the modalities within the next few weeks. With that, I think I will hand it over for any questions and answers.
Sure, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Gaurav Ratera from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my question. A couple of them. Firstly, Krishna, if you can elaborate a little bit more on the comms vertical, what really happened? And is this a trend where you're seeing some amount of issues? Is this more structural in nature, or is this a one-quarter blip?
Dara, we're quite confident that it's a one-quarter blip. Basically, what is happening is there are a couple of contracts, some very large contracts, that are being reassigned right now. The good news that I will confirm is that, you know, the opportunity for us actually increases within these contracts because there's a little bit of consolidation that is going on. There are a fewer number of suppliers, et cetera, that are being awarded these contracts. It also increases our scope, and there are going to be some things that we will be doing for the first time, which means that we have to prepare ourselves a little bit better, the contractual nature. So I can confirm that it's a blip. We will see growth in comms in Q4. It won't be huge growth, but we will see growth in Q4. And then Q1 onwards, we will have, again, some very, very solid quarters. For the year, I had originally said comms business will grow double digit. It will be a little bit lower than that. So that's a little bit disappointing. But I can assure you that it's not a structural thing at all. We know where we're going with that business. There's 2-3 very large clients that will scale up further, and we're very confident on the business.
Sure, Krishna. Thanks. This question is coming primarily because on the ground, what we are hearing is that a lot of service providers in Australia are looking to build their own fixed wireless network and trying to shift consumers away from the NBN network. So does this have any implication at all on the kind of work which we do, or it doesn't really matter to us?
No, it won't really matter to us because while NBN is there and we are a little, I mean, there's some amount of dependency on NBN networks, a lot of the work also comes directly from CSPs on the non-NBN part, which is more around things like provisioning, order to activation, a lot of those things where we don't necessarily, it's not about the network, it's also about how efficiently you can operate the network. So it's a combination of both those things. So we don't see any major issues because of the NBN network. Now, also, the other thing about NBN is the government is looking at changing the construct of NBN, potentially even privatizing it, etc. So net-net is we don't see any of that impact on us, and we believe just the way we are positioned, even if something dramatic happens with NBN, we won't be so affected because there's just other opportunities that we really focus on.
Secondly, Krishna, we see some bit of disconnect in the order intake growth for services business and the revenue growth in the last 9 months. Order intake has been growing at like 20% plus, but revenue growth has been far more muted. This is in context also, while you said that, you know, overall growth for the full year is just brought down a bit. But starting at the start of the year, we were kind of looking at double-digit growth, which is like maybe, you know, similar to last year. and now maybe towards that around 8.5%, 9.5%. So there has been a bit of a deceleration. So how do we read this disconnect in the order intake, and you know, how should we think about services business growth from a medium-term perspective?
That's a good question, because I think the disconnect is also because some of the contracts are being awarded for much longer term. So, you know, what used to be, say, a six-month or a year contract is now really multi-year contract. So we think that that's actually a good thing, because, you know, that brings in stability for the longer term. So therefore, I think the order intake will definitely translate into revenue, because, you know, we also have a fairly robust process around how we count the order intake. So it's not just, you know, somebody is not able to pass off things as order intake. It's really legitimate, PO-based, customer-committed order intake. So we're quite confident that all that will get converted into revenue over a period of the next few years. Overall, if you look at the growth also, it's been quite good in various places. It's just that in the comms business in Q3, with this whole, you know, contract renegotiations, et cetera, we got caught up a little bit. And overall in the comms business, it slowed down. And again, that's the second largest business that we have, which has a big impact. But outside of that, we're quite confident that the translation to revenue will happen, and while Q3 has been a little bit slower, you'll see Q4 will be very strong, and that momentum will continue. So from a medium-term perspective, I'm quite confident that we have some good growth ahead of us.
Yeah, maybe just one more if I can squeeze in. Company has been, specifically defocusing on the low-margin DLM work. How much of that more is left, which can impact growth rate in the coming quarters? And lastly, for Ajay, this year we were helped a lot by the currency. If currency is no longer in our favor, do you see some margin headwinds for the next year, especially because the on-site cost may be rising more than it has historically? Thank you.
So, Karan, in the first part, I'd say there's still a little bit more of low-margin business, but the way that we are managing it is there is certain growth that we anticipate and that we need to ensure that we're able to sustain the operations and grow margin. So as the newer business is coming up is when we will start to defocus on some of this older business. I can't get into FY20 just because it's too early. But the current growth rates in DLM will continue into FY20. That the DLM business, of course, you have to take out the acquisition impact, but a 20% kind of a growth in DLM business is something that we will definitely deliver for FY20 also. So we're it's a fine balance, and we will continue to manage that balance.
Yeah, one on the margin side, first in terms of the cost increase increase of on-site, to remember that, you know, when you're looking at what is happening around other companies where they are spending more cost to build up that local presence in U.S. and other countries, that we were better placed because our on-site presence was already, much higher, for example, in U.S., we are already at 85%, unlike other players who are at 50-60%, and they are investing into that. So that will not be a headwind coming time. And overall, in terms of the margin, of course, we talked about, you know, I already gave the color that, you know, we are very confident of good expansion, very good exit quarter for the next year. The additional headwind is always in the coming year is going to be from the salary hike. But I think we have found some good way of making sure that, you know, we take care of these headwinds. Also, we are undertaking some nice program to make sure that, you know, we have good cost optimization and efficiencies that come in the next year. And also, we are consciously doing more and more of letting go of non-profitable business or lower profitability business. So as a combination of both of them, I would say we should see that, you know, we should not only sustain this year margin, but we should improve the margin in coming years.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Pankaj Kapoor from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the opportunity. So Krishna, the first question is on this quarter, on Q4 implied guidance, which obviously seems to be very strong. What's our visibility getting into the quarter of achieving that number, given that in third quarter things turn out to be slightly lower than what you initially expected? So that's the first question.
So Pankaj, we are quite confident of that number, otherwise obviously we shouldn't be talking about it. So I would say we are quite confident of that number. You know, we have a very robust review process for a ground-up forecast based on visibility, pipeline, risks, etc. So, and obviously let's face it, a tepid Q3, we've really scrapped those numbers and we are quite confident that we will hit those numbers. So there is visibility. A lot of the visibility are also considering there's realistically only 10 or 11 weeks left in the quarter. Most of that visibility is based on the confirmed order pipeline, backlog, etc. So, and also more importantly, the inputs to execute. So I'm quite confident on the numbers because it's a very diligent, scrubbed up, bottom up process that we follow. And that's what's will come up with the number, and obviously, you know, Q3 was just that some of the things happened in November, December, whereas we're quite confident on Q4 that we'll hit the numbers.
Sure. And if I take a slightly longer term view, your peer seems to be doing quite well on the growth track. So if you look at their performance, what kind of changes do you foresee you need to probably make to probably match that kind of a growth number? One obvious thing is the participation in the larger scale deals. Any focus on that and any update on how we are progressing on that front?
So I found that is, you know, we have a little bit of a divergent strategy between the company you're talking about, in the sense that, you know, our strategy is, just to summarize it, you know, we've been supporting customers across the value chain of design, manufacture, and maintain. And we've also been using the the digital enablers across that value chain to make sure that we can do it effectively. That's essentially our strategy, and obviously in the investor day in May, we'll talk about it again in more detail. Whereas they've been also quite focused on the services business, the pure services business, rather than on the life cycle of the product. So having said that, we believe that we are seeing some very large deals that we're now currently bidding on, deals of you know, in the tens, if not the hundreds of millions of dollars. It's just that in this strategy and in this play, the outcome will be stretched over or spread over a longer period in time, because, you know, there's a lot that has to happen upfront with the design piece, and there's a lot that has to happen in new product introduction and manufacturing, and then sort of the volume starts to kick in quite a bit. So in that sense, I would we believe we've done all the right things, including be it the capabilities that we've built on the value chain of design, build, maintain, the initiatives that we've taken on building up the digital capabilities, also investing aggressively into the NBA. So we believe that
participants, please stay online. You've lost the line for the management. Please stay connected while we reconnect the management. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding the line. We have the management reconnected to the conference. So we have Mr. Pankaj Kapoor in the queue.
Yeah, sorry, I'll just continue that. I'd say the investments that we're making on some of these things will now start to play out quite significantly going forward. And therefore, we believe that FY 2021 onwards, we will see acceleration. Now, think it's not necessarily very prudent to compare just because the industries tend to be very different, the cycles tend to be very different. All of us have had outperformance at various periods in time. So I think what I'll therefore say is that FY20 and 21, we will see some good acceleration.
Sure. And my second question is to Ajay on the margin guidance. It appears that we are holding on to our guided outlook for a flat margin year on year. But some of that gain is essentially coming in because we are seems to be the impact of investment in the NDA program is going to be lesser than.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. Sir, requesting you to please use the handset mode as we are unable to hear you clearly.
Is it better?
Yes, you may please proceed now.
Yeah. So the question is on the margin outlook. So it looks like that with the additional investment that we are making in the NBA through the course of the year, we seems to have looking at a lower impact of that. And the cost efficiencies that we initially anticipated are coming lower than what we had thought of. So my question to Ajay is, are we somehow cutting on the NBA investments just to ensure that the margin outlook is maintained? And does it mean that there is some lag impact of that which could be there in the next year? Similarly, on the cost efficiency front, is the gain that we initially anticipated were fairly aggressive, and that's the reason why we got a little less than what we thought of, or you deliberately went a bit slow on that?
Sure. So I would say that firstly, this is a comfort, as we have said. I also said in my opening remarks that, in my comments on this update, we are absolutely not compromising anything for the long term. As far as new business accelerators is concerned, we have 19 projects now, 3 more projects came. We are not cutting a single dollar on new business accelerator. It is that we have launched a new way of doing this particular work, which is taking time for the ideas and all that. So it's, I think we are on track by the year, maybe 20-30 basis points here and there. We should be on track. We are not cutting anything on new business acceleration. Same is true for all other investments. When I'm saying cost efficiency, I think the fact is that we have not in this year cut any cost that we are not getting the benefit on one side of the currency, and on the other side we had relatively lower volume. But we have never mitigated so far by huge cost cutting. But I think we will work on it in terms of the cost efficiency, as already mentioned. And I think there is a need for us to get more leaner, and you will see that in financial year 20 and 21.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, please limit your question to one per participant. You may come back in the question queue if you have a follow-up question. We will take the next question from the line of Sandeep Shah from CGS-CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just the question, what the previous Pankaj has asked, on the services business, if I look at the Q4 run rate, it was $143 million. And the Q4 of last year of 143 and Q3 of this year is 144.5. So the first three quarters, we have done almost like -1% to close to a 1.5% growth, where the run rate has almost remained similar. And the exit of the last year is helping you in terms of posting a better number in this year. So do you believe, is there a change in the review process in terms of budgeting, or do you just say that this is largely in terms of a client-specific issue which is leading to this, and for which you have to diversify more in terms of avoiding these kind of a scenario going forward? Because if we didn't had a good exit last year, this year's performance on the services business would have been really poor.
So, no, the one of the things that we have to look at is the growth in the business is quite, it's not back-ended. It is quite flat, for lack of a better word, that we are, it's not significant growth quarter on quarter, but we came off a very strong Q4. We had a tepid Q1 and we made it up a little bit in Q2. Q3 has been obviously a little bit tougher, and then like I said, Q4 will be a good quarter. So one of the things that we will continue to do and continue to look at is making sure that our budgeting is also based on this, right? That the reality of our business is that unless we have, you know, we need to have a strong Q1 to have a strong year. That's just how the nature of the business is and how the nature of the business works. So therefore, for us to have, to your point, you know, while we were at 141, now we're at 144 roughly, those are the numbers. But for us to have strong years, we need to have a strong Q1 and really grow off the basis of a strong Q1. Now, if you look at Q2 of this year, again, we were at 148 or 149 million. So Q3 is a one-off issue. I mean, again, it's just how the business works, the nature of the projects that we work in, that we unfortunately run into these issues once in a while. But you know, the fundamental business continues to be strong, and you'll see that in Q4 and going into the next year.
Okay. So just the previous participant asked, so the ask rate for the Q4 is as big as 5% to 8.7% on a Q-on-Q basis on a reported dollar guidance, because the guidance is given on a constant currency, and there would be a headwind, if I'm not wrong, where Ajay can correct, where the full year constant cross-currency headwind could be as big as 130-40 bits. So in that scenario, you believe that the scenario where we had some delay of ramp up or projects being pushing back in the first 9 months may not reoccur in the 4Q, and we are confident to at least achieve the lower end of the guidance, which gives us a good exit rate this year. And on that, you are saying the first 1Q of the next year would also be better. So how confident that the past issues won't be a reason for any kind of unforeseen negative surprises in the 4Q can repeat?
Yeah, I think we are quite confident because, you know, obviously after having a little bit of a tepid Q3, whatever the rest of the year looks like, we have to plan for it quite carefully. So we've spent an inordinate amount of time in looking at the numbers ground up, because that's the only way that you can get confidence. And again, you know, the good thing is we now have a very good handle of what it takes from order intake to conversion to new orders, etc. So it's been a ground up thing, and I will say that obviously there's force majeure type of issues that happen which are out of our control, but with a fair degree of confidence, I can say that range of 8.5 to 9.5 for the year is where we will end up with.
Okay. The second question is in terms of margin. Ajay, just wanted to understand, you said that this quarter you had 100 bps impact because of the furloughs on the margin, which won't be there in the fourth quarter. And over and above that, the fourth quarter will have a very good growth on a Q-on-Q basis. So is it fair to say that the margin up move on a Q-on-Q basis, if the currency does not change, would be upwards of 100 basis point on a Q-on-Q on the fourth quarter, which gives you a good exit rate, which may also result in a YOY increase possibility in FY20. Is it a right direction in which we are looking at?
Yes, that's the right direction to look at. And some of it, you know, you are assuming that the currency will sustain at quarter three level. We are assuming more of 70 as the exchange rate for quarter four. That's the only difference. So we are assuming there is going to be a little bit of headwind in quarter four from the currency, which takes away 50-60 basis points. But if rupee comes back to the last quarter average level, then to that extent, I think marginally the flag will move towards the improvement in margin for the full year. And whatever you said for quarter four is right. I think we have enough tailwinds which are known.
Okay. And for the next year also, you are saying because of the good exit rate, the YOY growth trajectory on the margin would be better.
Yeah, I think I would say one is the exit rate, which will help us. But I would also say there are initiatives that we are taking. There was a very fair point that we did not deliver so much on the efficiency or the cost this year. So I think we have deliberated extensively, as Krishna talked about, both in terms of revenue, what he said, we had a lot of deliberation. We also look at that efficiency issues. There are going to be, there are already in place some new initiatives where we are confident improving the margin in the next year. But it's a bit early, give us one quarter, and we'll speak in more detail quarter four.
Okay. Just last question, Krishna.
Sir, sorry to interrupt. Yeah. May I please request you to come back in the question queue for your follow-up, as we have people waiting for the turn?
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, please limit your question to one per participant. We take the next question from the line of Urmil Shah from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead. Urmil Shah, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. Krishna, my question was, as regards the large clients, slower growth in the top account, and more importantly, the top 6 to 10 accounts, we've seen slower growth. What is the outlook as regards the same? And also, is our end-to-end solutions offering which we are targeting over the next 3 years, is penetrating those solutions taking more time? Your comment on that?
In terms of the top 10 and the customers, I don't see any systemic problem. I mean, there's always going to be a shift in the numbers just because of the size of some of these clients. So, in terms of just the, if I just quickly run through the top 10, I don't see any significant challenges in any one of them that will be of concern going forward. So I think it's something that again happened in Q3, but we're quite confident that we won't have any further issues. Now, in terms of penetrating with the solutions, I think, we are able to generate some good traction. The only difference, I would say, is that from the time that we sort of generate the first interest to proving it out to volume is taking a little bit longer than what we anticipated. I think we are very confident that we're going down the right path in terms of the strategy, that we have the right portfolio of solutions. Our customers are quite engaged in discussing these new solutions. It's just the time that it's taking to convert them is a little bit longer, which we didn't anticipate when we first embarked on this strategy.
Sure. So if I got it right, while there will be cyclicality at times, but your long-term 2 to 3 year outlook does not change as such, despite a weaker 9 months FY19.
No, absolutely not. I mean, if nothing else, I think our 3 year outlook has gotten more stronger. We are very convinced on what where the business is going. We've seen some very large opportunities. We've won some of them. We continue to bid on some very, very large, interesting deals. So we're quite confident. I mean, if anything else, the three-year forecast, in my mind, at least, has solidified quite a bit over the last 9 months.
Sure. Thanks. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ashish Chopra from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Krishna, I just had a question around aerospace and defense. I think the growth trends over there have been pretty divergent in terms of the group level and services. So while the services growth has been decelerating, I think this has been the vertical which has been carrying the weight of growth as far as the DLM piece goes. So just wanted to understand, how should we look at this move further from here? In terms of the split of this growth between services and DLM, given that your outlook remains pretty strong?
So we'll continue to see growth on, if you look at the services number for this quarter, we've also seen a little bit of growth coming back in the services business in aerospace and defense. So we believe that also looking forward, we'll see some significant growth there. So what I would say is the services business is also catching up. We've gone through various cycles. We've gone through various issues in customers. So services growth is also picking up. If anything else, we'll decelerate the DLM growth a little bit there, because we believe that there are some opportunities to rationalize some low-margin customers. Like I said, you know, it's a fine balancing act, because we don't want revenue to change significantly at any point in time because of the overheads and the cost absorption. Therefore, it's a tricky balance that we're trying to navigate. So what we will see is the services business will again pick up in aerospace and defense. We will consciously moderate the moderate the DLM growth a little bit, and overall, I think it will be again, it will be similar and quite balanced.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Agarwal for his closing comments.
Thanks everyone for participating in the call. I will hand over the call to Mr. Reddy for his final remarks. Thanks, and over to you, Mr. Reddy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all of you taking time and participating on our Q3 earnings call. We continue to have confidence in our business. We continue to believe that the business is very sturdy and will grow in coming quarters. Thank you again for your participation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Edelweiss Securities, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may disconnect your lines now.